You're listening to U Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things Utah football and basketball.
Welcome to the U Talk podcast. I am flying solo today. Grant bought a house. Congratulations, Grant, if you're listening. And we're all very happy for him. But as a result, you just have to listen to me. You don't get to listen to Grant's sultry voice. We do have a ton of stuff to talk about. Not much in the quick hitters because it's what? July, almost. It'll be July by the time you listen to this, probably. And it's just a boring time. It's not a sports time. It's a boring time. So, really not a lot to say. I'm just going to dive right in. First, we're going to talk about some football recruiting. And then we were going to jump on the next section, which is wide receivers and quarterbacks. We're just going to dig in, talk about the talent and what we're looking at there. So for recruiting, there's more buzz about more offensive linemen. In fact, there's a 2018, so would be eligible immediate lineman who committed. He's 6'6", 270. So there is maybe a lack of physical development there, but he's very talented and he's coming in late. I think you're probably looking at a will play next year or will play late this year as he starts to put on his weight. His name's Bernard Shermer. He's a JUCO player. He's 3-3, play 3. He's a great get and will really help depth, particularly at the tail end of the season, and improves the offensive line outlook for 2019. There's another lineman, a 2019 lineman, who there's some buzz about. A lot of stuff going on there. There's a top running back in the West, number one in Cali, who is declaring his school of choice in, what, 30 minutes, he says? And my guess is it's Utah. A really effective way to try and figure out what a recruit is thinking is to go to their Twitter and look at their likes. The only comment about his commitment that this kid has liked is a Utah recruiting an analyst who is talking about it. So I've got a good feeling. I'm excited. His name's Austin Jones. He's moved really quickly, which has been nice. He released a top 10 like 2 weeks ago, narrowed it down to 5 like 3 days ago. And I was like, all right, I'm committing. I'll be on Instagram at 1. I mean, it's pretty cool. Nice to see a kid sort of taking it seriously and not playing up for clicks or attention. I mean, he's just trying to pick the best place for him, and credit to him for that. Four-star, everything, no gaps in his talent profile, so I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing him in Drum and Feather here. His name, again, is Austin Jones, and he's one to watch. I also undertook an analysis of the offer sheet. I think that we can get a little bit of information from the offer sheet about what it is the coaching staff is thinking. I think we're definitely seeing signs of an aggressive recruiting approach and a timeline approach that is different than the previous 2 years. They're going to go out and get the guys they want. They're not going to wait. So I pulled up, and then in terms of positions, I pulled up a list of all the offers they've given and what kind of positions they're targeting. They've offered a lot of quarterbacks, 7 quarterbacks. Most of them have already picked a school. There's still 2 undecided. So look for more quarterbacks to go out, get some offers as Utah's trying to figure out who the next big thing is going to be under center in the shotgun, I guess. A ton of wide receivers, 21 wide receiver offers and 15 athlete offers, who often tend to be the perimeter skill kind of body type, which I find interesting because the Utes are reloading at wide receiver next year. They're not going to lose a lot. Most everybody will be back. So it's interesting that they're targeting that, and I think probably reflects Troy Taylor's emphasis on the passing game and trying to shift the talent profile of the roster so that there's more speed, more perimeter talent, more route running, those kinds of things. So basically got here, looked at the roster. We've got 8 good wide receivers, but I need 20 good wide receivers. And so he's offering them like crazy. 6 tight ends, 8 running backs. Utah's definitely prioritizing a running back next year, but I think probably one will do it. There's good talent on the roster. Hopefully it's this Austin Jones kid. He can really play. Offensive line is a major area they're targeting. 16 OL offers. We've already got 2 commitments, 3 if you want to count Shermer, who's a 2018 commit, doesn't go to the 25. But they're obviously emphasizing making sure that there's plenty of beef on the line. And so far having a lot of success. And I think the commits they've gotten are will stand the test of time. They won't feel like, oh, why did we settle for this kid in June instead of waiting and see if we get that 4-star, that 5-star come next January? These are good Pac-12 offensive linemen, and plenty to like about them. A lot of linebackers, a lot of defensive ends, a lot of defensive tackles. I'm not sure that's special, or if it's just, you know, Whittingham likes to load up on hitters up front and will continue to do that. And 19 defensive backs. So I'd say overall, the surprising things about the offer sheet are heavy emphasis on the offensive line, and a surprising, given the talent's already in the roster, a surprising emphasis on wide receivers. I would say that's really what stands out to me about that. So the next thing I want to chat about is quarterbacks. I mean, we got all these wide receivers that we're going to be, that make it almost silly to be recruiting so many, because they're all coming back. The passing game is really reloading. Quarterback's obvious. Tyler Huntley's 1A. Tuttle has impressed in his short time here and is expected to continue to do so. And again, we have this new rule that lets Jack Tuttle or any other redshirt freshman play up to 4 complete games in their redshirt year and still retain redshirt status, which is awesome, both for sheer experience. You know that the staff likes to get these kids experience, but it's also awesome for the transfer bug. I think a kid like Jack Tuttle, and not necessarily him specifically, but a superstar high school talent, expects to be in the mix early. And if you've got, say, a 5-star running back who's amazing, but you can't quite get him on the field because you've got Zach Moss on the roster, well, you can pop him out there for a couple of halves and make him be part of the team and feel like he's part of the team and contribute to some wins. And I think maybe trim down on some of those kind of looking for playing time transfers that you see a lot. And again, I don't hold that at all against the kids. Like, God bless them. But hopefully you'll see less of that and a little bit more consistent in the roster. And not that I really worry about Tuttle transferring, but it's still good. So then we got a couple of other quarterbacks who are worth talking about. Drew Lisk, who I've been kind of puffing up for a while because I watched him in some scrimmages, and he can throw. He's got an arm, not a big arm, but a really accurate arm, and it's big enough to make all the throws he needs to in the Troy Taylor offense. He's quick. He's got good decision making. He's the kind of kid that I could see being hugely successful in like a Mike Leach kind of system. He's kind of a skinny little guy with a quick release, tons of accuracy, good decision making, good eye for the field. So the fact that they put him on scholarship is exciting. And I think I keep saying this over and over again. They continue to look for that third quarterback. Because once you have three, then you can say, hey, Jason Shelley, do you want to try wide receiver? Do you want to try safety? Do you want to try cornerback? Because this kid is a superstar athlete and needs to get out on the field. But he's not a Pac-12 caliber quarterback in the estimation of most people observing. So hopefully Utah can land another quarterback. Now, the reason the recruiting class last year was slim is because the Tuttle commitment was, there was sort of an unwritten agreement between the staff and Tuttle. It was, Jack, you don't visit anybody else, you don't do anything else, and we won't offer or recruit a backup or kind of recruit under or on top of you. So they shut down. Tuttle shut down his recruiting, and the U shut down their quarterback recruiting. So the roster's a little thin. That's the downside of that. But with Drew Lisk coming along, I think that they're doing just fine there. Certainly not a need next year with Tuttle on the roster, but you want to get a quarterback in every year, and I think it'll continue to be a recruiting emphasis. But who's he going to throw to? Well, basically, anybody he wants. This list of wide receivers is short, but really impressive. Covey's back. I mean, that's Exhibit 1A, right? Samson Nakua was a breakout talent. Some people saw it coming. Not me, not at all. He really blew me away and was excellent, particularly over the middle and in traffic. You know, he reminds me, I've just had this thought, Freddie Brown. It's not about physical talent. It's about a nose for the ball and toughness and an enjoyment, a reveling in contact that makes him effective. CLC Mariner. Brian Thompson, people are excited about. Bronson Boyd, everybody's nuts about Bronson Boyd. This kid had, he's a big-time recruit, went to Texas Tech, had a very serious, violent altercation with another player, was cut from the Texas Tech squad, had been close to committing to Utah, kind of came back over here to try to straighten stuff out, get his life on track, and seems to have done so. And people can't stop talking about how good he is. So there's a ton of opportunity for him, particularly at the perimeter. And it's just everywhere. Terrell Perriman has a lot of upside as a slot and possession receiver. He's a little small, but he's strong and he's quick. Let's see. And then a more freshman, Solomon Annis. That was a highly touted four-star recruit. So I would say there's a lot of uncertainty. I mean, if you're defining the wide receiver class, there's a lot of uncertainty, but there isn't a lot of doubt. Somebody is going to break out, and more than one somebody, and that's going to be kind of an embarrassment of riches if Huntley can get on the ball. I think the other thing to watch is going to be continued improvement in the passing game and continued installation of the future offense, the Troy Taylor offense, which I think even at the end of last season was simplified, and in particular was simplified in a way that protected the quarterback. There was more help in terms of pass blocking, tight ends and fullbacks not running routes, but instead staying in and chip blocking and things like that. And with a deeper and more talented O-line, as we talked about last week, I think there's a good chance that we'll be able to start seeing tight ends and fullbacks running routes and Huntley having a little bit more time and more complex plays developing as that changes. So there's really, in this area, there's really a ton to be excited about. There's really a lot of promise all over wide receiver. We've got a lot of faith in Tyler Huntley. I mean, things look really good. One area that's going to be interesting to watch is tight ends. There are 1, 2, 3, 4 freshman tight ends on the roster. Zach Hansen, Brent Queeth, Cole Fotheringham, who's back from a mission, and then Thomas Yasmin. So Fotheringham is a stud. He's 6'4", 235, everything you want to see in a tight end. Was a classmate to some degree of Travis Wilson, same high school, San Clemente. And has been someone we've been waiting for with great anticipation because he's a very talented player and that prototypical tight end that you're looking for and the Utes haven't been able to find for a while. He's really big. He's fast. He can get it outside. He can catch passes. Whereas the guys that have been on the roster and have been playing tight end, Bapa Falamaka, Jake Jackson, more of a undersized O-lineman kind of build, a little bit shorter, a little bit heavier. But it's going to be really interesting to see if Fotheringham can kind of break through the Falamaka wall, because the staff really likes Bapa, but Fotheringham's got a lot of talent, and I think safe to say more talent than Falamaka does. And while we're on the subject of talent, Thomas Yasmin is a 6'5", 242 dude out of Australia. Played rugby, never played a down of football in his life. I'm not a rugby expert, but what he did in rugby more than anything else was get the ball and run with the ball. In very, very impressive fashion, shedding tackles, making guys miss. I mean, he really moves like a man much smaller than he is. So he has the potential, if he's got the hands that he needs and he can learn the position, which there's a lot for a tight end to pick up, right? You've got to learn the offense. You got to learn the routes. You got to learn how to pass block, which is a skill that he hasn't had to develop. And there's not really a way to know for sure if he has it. I mean, I think there's a meanness that a blocker needs, and we just don't know if he's that guy or not. But if he's able to build those skills, his ability with the ball is unmatched for somebody his size on this roster, and I think sky is the limit for Yasmin. There's a chance, maybe even a good chance, that he doesn't stick at tight end. He's also got a prototypical defensive end build and is a holy terror on that side of the ball as well, playing rugby, and is, I think, a more easy to coach position. It's a lot easier to say, here's the moves you need to get past the tackle, go kill that guy. And so that may be where he winds up, but I think if you start seeing him play at tight end, it means you've got something to be really excited about, because he's a special, dynamic player of the sort that physically, gosh, I'm trying to think if Utah's ever had a guy like that on the perimeter, on offense, who was just a pure pass catch threat like that. And I think the answer is no. I just don't think this guy has been on the roster before. So it's going to be exciting to see if Troy Taylor can figure out a way to use him. So that's one to watch. We really pretty exhaustively went over the freshman at wide receiver. But really, it's a loaded perimeter skill, speed, offense. And I think there is a surplus of weapons for Troy Taylor. And the limit is going to be his strategy. And is Tyler Huntley going to take the next step? Is he going to transform himself into a guy who runs when he has to instead of what he wants to? Is it going to be still 12, 15, 18 carries a game, or are we going to start to trim that back to 8 or 10 and half of those plays go to Zach Moss or another running back and the other half get to be throws? And if it's the latter, if he makes that change, I mean, that tells you a few things. One, it tells you Troy Taylor is as advertised when it comes to coaching quarterbacks. We want to see something we've never seen here at Utah, or at least not in a long time. We want to see a quarterback who changes for the better every game and every season, who's constantly improving. And we just don't know yet. We think so, because Troy Taylor has done it before in high school, and he's done it before at the FCS level. And we're excited and we're hopeful. But that's the question. I mean, that's the cornerstone of what can we do with this team this year and next. And that's pretty much it. It's a little bit of a shorter show for you guys because it's just me, so we don't have Grant here to illuminate and expand upon everything that we want to talk about. But as always, thank you for listening, and please take some time to do a review, give us a few stars on wherever you download this from, because that's how other people find the show. And we want more people to listen, and we want to stay busy, and that is everything that I've got for you today. So I am going to leave you with a Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to Ute Talk, brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter at Ute Talk Podcast or email at utetalk@gmail.com.